Welcome to the Combat Chat Podcast. This is an Aussie-based show covering everything to do with Muay Thai, submission grappling, MMA boxing, and weird news the fight world has to offer each week. Now, it's time to combat sports and chill with your boys, Shane, Trent, and Hugh.
Hey, yo, your boys are back again.
Hello.
Damn, how are you, mate?
I am in a state of living death.
Ah, the fight prep. So close, yet so far away.
Yeah, no, it's good. The end is in sight now. So really just like one more week of hard graft and then we can taper it back a little bit. But yep. I feel good. I don't really feel living death. It's good. it's coming up and up, but it's been a while.
Been a little while,
but like, honestly, hey, actually, for me, it hasn't even been that long. To be honest, I've been lucky.
Does it feel just like a longer prep?
It feels like the longest, shortest prep ever. Like I don't know. It was a lot. There's a lot going on. Like we matched this fight, like we said last week, right as the gyms reopened. Like right, bang, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something. We're back in the ring, so it was like it was back up to 100. The day the gyms open, and so
you're cramming for that last test.
Yeah, like it's kind of crazy that it's only been a couple months since the gyms came back, because like while it feels like a second ago, it also feels like I've been in this fight prep for like my entire life.
It's your Rocky moment just leading up to it. Just get to the montage already.
But the way it was like the actual lockdown period kind of felt like an extended fight prep, because it was sort of just like it's so much more work to try to continue training through lockdown, and like, you know, just working with a lot of the guys on it, but we'll meet and, you know, meeting up outside in the car park and like going for these stupid runs and stuff like that. So it all kind of, all of that kind of period has melted together into just like forever. But how exciting. Like I feel, it feels good now. I think like the thing with kind of the lockdown and stuff is when you lock down, like trying to stay fit and so you're ready to go as soon as the opportunity kind of arises. Put my mic off.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
You just speak with such power.
When you're like training in a lockdown and there's no kind of end date, it does just feel really endless, which is probably one of the reasons that this has felt so long. And then like you kind of come straight back to the gym and, you know, it was like it's been a slightly longer prep as far as like there's a bit more down. But yeah, it's good. It's a very exciting feeling to actually have like an end date and like, okay, if there's going to come a point where we can just stop doing all this shit and just go and do the fun stuff.
Well, that's it. This is just of that. So like, if you haven't seen already from that one, this is our Rebellion show. I'll put logo here. So it's the 10th anniversary of Rebellion Muay Thai. From there's also a Roots show. And we're also going to go over Siam to Sydney's card as well.
Yes.
Because, we won't be here for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, because we got shit to do.
Oof, busy. Fighting, officiating, all the good stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, which is great to see. So let's just go over the card a little bit. So, of course, you have your fight.
Yes.
Against Corey Dean, the Cowboy.
How good?
Good match in terms of like, you know, Corey Dean's kind of known as a cowboy, as in cow. The knees from that one, like a very clinch heavy type of fighter, loves the pressure. Gas tanks really become a lot of time as well. Same thing. Your gas tank is very good.
Yeah.
Don't mind the clinching here and there, but like,
don't mind it.
Like a good kick though.
Yeah. I love this fight. Like I just think it's, I like fights like this one. I know what Corey's about. He always comes for a war. You know, I can be tempted to come in for a war as well. So, like, let's just see. I think it's good. Like, two high-paced fighters. You know, kind of like very different styles, but kind of archetypally kind of similar as well. I think this is going to be a real kind of
it's one of those ones as well. Like, I'm not going to go too much into it, but like, I couldn't imagine like, either of you going like, it's like, I'm going to drastically change my style for this fight. It's like, you know, because like it's one of those stylistic battles.
Nah, let's just get in and do it.
Do it.
And you know, I've been doing some things a little bit differently. So maybe you see some different stuff for me, but I think that people, it's just one of those fights. I think it's just like, this is just guaranteed entertainment value. So let's do it.
That's right. Nice. And like, yeah, 5-round battle for all these matches except for the very top one when we get to there. So, and that's good, like as it should be. 5 rounders, like, you know, like some people think it might be a bit boring, like if, you know, they take the rounds off. Like generally in Australia, there is no taking rounds off.
Yeah, no rounds off. But yeah, I think like it's definitely like a really good picture of where Rebellion is, especially when you've got like, now that you've got the support of Roots as a development series, so like you can still develop guys through the 3-round format. We're going to see, I believe, all Rebellion cards moving forward. At a point anyway, I think the aim, so I said, is to do, when you watch a Rebellion cards, all 5 rounds. And yep. Is there a show in Australia that has all 5-round main cards? I don't think there is.
It's not
few and far between. If there is, maybe when we went to Yikao, all the fights were probably 5 rounds there, but Yikao kind of just comes through as a little bit more of a feature. It's not on all the time, but of the regular shows, yeah, like I like to see this as a bit of prestige, I think, to having like a true, it's like a true professional show, like a real, obviously, like there's time and a place for 3-round Muay Thai fights, but like a like a classic professional Muay Thai fight is a 5-rounder. So I think it's good, like when you watch a show, it says something of the caliber of Rebellion that like when you watch now, it's going to be all 5 rounds. Like for me personally, like I much prefer 5-round fights from an entertainment standpoint as well. Like I never really bought into the idea of like cut them down to 3 rounds. I understand the logic. Like it's like that Max Muay Thai super champ, one championship kind of model, that kind of K1 pioneered, I guess, of like, we'll just make it 3 rounds so it's foot on the gas. I get it, and it does result in really entertaining fights sometimes. But for me, I think it's real Muay Thai. I love 5-round fights. I think I do, because like, I find like more often than not, you watch a 3-round fight and you're like, that'd be a sick 5-rounder. Like how often do you watch a 5-round fight and you're like, that would have been a better 3-rounder. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like a lot of like, yeah, I mean, maybe that's why 3 rounders are entertaining, you know, like leaving wanting more rather than wanting less. But yeah, I think to me, I think, you know, like kind of the purists, Muay Thai purists, like prefer 5 rounds.
Well, I guess like it goes, might be going through like size of gloves as well. It allows you to like, you know, to play like, you know, the bigger gloves, you can play a longer game. Well, like smaller gloves a lot of times, they're like, if you look at the one championship, that it's like, yeah, it's just like just action pace. But like they know it's 3 rounds as well. So you can see action pace no matter what.
Yeah, but I even feel like as one championship kind of develops and the Muay Thai offering matures, you are getting a little bit more situations where you kind of like, this could have been 5. Like when I was watching Lithuanian and Tomopet last week, that was the main event of the show. It ended up getting stopped in the second anyway. But you're kind of like, we're going to do this just for 3? Like, it's weird, right? Because it's not, in practice, it's so different. Like, it's so different to watch with the 2 extra rounds. But like, yeah, I think like, I'd like to see one do at the very least all main events, 5 rounds for the Super Series. Like, you probably can still do all 5 rounders. Because, you know, like it's the same duration as just a 3-round MMA fight.
You're just taking up the same amount of space on the card.
So I'd like to see that. I mean, I understand why they don't do it that way, but I'd like to see if you have a main event that's not a title fight, still make it 5 rounds, and I'd maybe like a big semi-main as well. Like I think we're probably moving away in combat sports from the idea of like it has to be a title fight. Because even the UFC is doing it now. Like they do all 5-round main events, but now they've started to throw in.
UFC, occasionally. I think Bellator's now relented. Doing like, you know, it doesn't have to be a title bout to be 5 rounds.
But
like,
now in the UFC, it doesn't even have to be the main event. It's only both examples have been Diaz brothers. But they, you know, they do third fight down the card would be 5 rounds as well. Like further. So like, I think, I don't think we'll ever get to a place where it's like every single fight's going to be 5 rounds. Like it's still plays for 3, but I don't think it has to be so hard and fast. Like sometimes you could just look at it situationally and just be like, that could be 5.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to stick to a rule. Like if it's the main event or a title fight, 5 rounds.
Yeah. There's been many fights that, we looked at, like, you know, that could have been 5. Like was it Talon Chai and City Chai? Like,
that would have been a nice 5-rounder.
The Pinto versus Hanzi Hao.
That would be a great 5-rounder. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, you know, you just have these little different ones. Like, hopefully they'll move towards there. So
yeah, but cool for Rebellion, cool that we're going to start to see entirely 5-round shows.
Yeah. All right. So let's just do a little bit of a preview coming up here. So I'm just going off the Instagram off that order. It might not be the order of the fights, but hey, this is where I read it from. So we have so where have we got next? Davina Martin. This is Summer Rat. Like I said, last name.
It is. It's some sort of run clerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's not even hard to say.
I know. I just look at a name and it's just automatically Bailey. Because I know, like some sort of, it's like she's like fan and like, you know, I share her stuff as well from that one. So I don't want to do it a disservice of just absolutely butchering her name.
Look, maybe I did. And if that's the case, I apologize. I'm also a big some sort of fan. Big Davina fan too.
Yeah.
I like
this fight. So. Going into this fight here, so we have Dean from Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. We have some sort of from Eight Blades.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. How do you reckon this is playing out, this fight?
Look, remains to be seen, I guess. I love the match. Like, I think Som Surat is definitely like a Victorian favorite for a lot of people. Just like very beautiful style, moves really nicely, and just like so relaxed. I think like I think the more aggressive of the two is Davina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last time I saw Davina fight,
she's fought Davina's fought out of her experience a number of times. Like her great fight with last
time I saw her fight. Yeah, I in practice couldn't really say what this fight is going to look like. I love the match. Like I think I think you'll probably see. You know, not like Davina's not like at all sort of recklessly aggressive fighter, but probably a little bit more of an imposing fighter.
Is there much of an experience differential?
I don't know the records, but I think especially at kind of like I do believe that Davina is newer to this kind of high level scene, but she looked good against Marina in her, I believe that was probably her last fight with, you know, the way the world's been. Yeah, she is like fights way above her experience, as most of Kieran's guys do, to be honest. Very mature style in that gym. I love the fight. I think this is a class match of just kind of like, you know, some sort of that just smooth kind of finesse, that beautiful kind of like technical style. I don't know, it's like for me, for Som Surat, it's like just how relaxed she is. Like it's almost like she's got this sort of almost mesmerizing kind of rhythm, like just the way that she moves is so like calm while effective. Like, yeah, I really like to watch her fight.
Yeah, I don't think her heart rate goes over 60.
Yeah, you won't bother her. Yeah. Davina can definitely like a technical stylist also, but a little bit more penchant for a bit of foot on the gas. Maybe try to walk some sort down a little bit and sort of
make it work a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what you want to do against someone with that level of technique is just try to make them uncomfortable, right? Honestly, in practice, I have no picture in my head of what this fight looks like. I love the match, but I can't even really see how this plays out.
Yeah. I think like with this match and then there's another girls match we'll talk about from there, and then you look at Sion the Sydney as well. Mm. Like this period of girl fighters coming through from that one, from like, you know, built from the, like, you know, that even not too long ago from there, is like it's really built up really strong. Like there seems to be a better pool now.
Yeah, and how about the Martin sisters?
Yeah. they're both very high
rises. Yeah. Yeah. Duo on the come up. Yeah, that's really exciting matches for both of them. We'll get into Diandra's fight shortly. But yeah, I love this one. I think Davina kind of has now, with the Marina fight, really sort of taken that step up, and you can see that there, you know, there's no step down here. Like she's just like kind of arrived on the top of the scene. Because, you know, Marina and Som Surat in back-to-back fights, that's solid. A big lineup, yeah.
Solid.
Definitely. So definitely looking to stamp her place as one of the top in kind of this new generation of female fighters in Australia. So that's an awesome match.
Awesome. All right, so let's go into the next one now. So we have Carter Lawrence from Dominus MMA versus Darren Chen from PTJ.
Love this one. Yeah.
This is good. Like, you know, Carter Lawrence is like been getting a really good push.
Yeah.
Again, like a local boy as well that's making a lot of waves. And Darren, like, you know, since he came back, you know, lockdown aside, has been really racking them up.
Yeah, looking good.
Back in Australian soil.
Yeah, Carter, I think outside of spending some time in Thailand, I could be wrong, but I think he trained at FA Group. Mm-hmm. He has had some fights over there. I think he probably has had like all of his career on Roots and Rebellion. Yeah. I would have to be close. Like I would say he probably debuted on Roots. So he's really kind of climbed up. Like that's sort of what this show's progression system is designed to do. And now he's definitely, in particular, after a couple of really good battles with Corey Barrett, has kind of cemented his where he won and then defended the WBC Victorian welterweight title, has really cemented his place as kind of one of the top, well, I guess the title's for right, the top boy at 67 in Victoria. So, and I think this is a good step up for him. Against Darren Chen, who is on a really good run. And I think Darren, he is coming off a split decision loss to Warren, but I think kind of showed a lot of people. And that was a very close fight.
Yeah.
You know, real coin toss kind of decision. And a fight where he showed like a lot of his real capability. Yeah, right kick is wicked.
His hands have been developing a lot this fight as well. Yeah,
starting to show some new layers in his game. He's been at PTJ like a couple of years now, hasn't been able to be super active in that time. But I think against a lot like that fight with Two, against – look, Two's had like 80. I don't even think he knows how many fights he's had. A lot of fights. Experienced guy. Like you saw the fight before that was Two against Sing Paiak that really gives you kind of a measuring stick for Two's level. Darren really took it to Two and had a good technical battle with him, landed some great kicks. So this is a good match like to kind of two welterweights on the rise that I think really puts, you know, for 2022, the winner of this fight's in a very good position to kind of enter that very top pool, which has some very interesting names. You know, that's sort of
67 is a real hotbed.
Good class, always is the world over. You know, Tyler Hardcastle very much at the top of that class. Mm-hmm. You know, across Australia and you know tends to run out of opponents, so could be, you know, the next emerging contender could definitely come out of this fight. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a couple in particular really interesting fights. Like, you know, you got Damon Nelson is around there as well. So, you know, this is a good chance for two fast rising welterweights to really sort of enter that top bracket and set themselves up for a pretty interesting 2022.
Nice. Very good. So going on to there to another women's match, as we talked about before. So we have Marina Verissimo versus Joanna Lahr.
Very good fight.
Yes. So Marina training a Sichathong. And then we have Joanna Lahr. I'm just pressing. Oh, there's a lot of gym names in this one. Eight Blades.
Eight Blades, yeah.
But like, I'm saying a lot of the other names. But Eight Blades.
Eight Blades.
Yes. I think I remember watching Joanna Lahr like a little while ago. I was super impressed by her. I was like, you know, I'm just fanboying. Like, oh, she's so good.
Yeah, she's wicked.
And Marina as well, same thing. As we talked about her fight with Davina from there. It's just like just looking really strong.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that Marina hasn't been able to fight since then, especially because the last time she actually got to Melbourne, you know, but we don't even talk about that again.
Yeah,
like Marina's one of my favorite fighters actually to watch, like just really good, just this wicked motor, beautifully technical, likes to clinch, like real good, strong, just kind of like vice grip kind of clincher, wicked gas tank. Like I think Marina's just motor is so impressive, which I can guess lends itself to a clinch based style. So yeah, I guess she'll be looking to just get on the front foot. But I don't know. Let's see, you know, it's we're fresh back from everyone's had a little bit of a break. Everyone's going to be showing you in because these are a pair of very intelligent fighters. Like this is a really smart matchup. So, you know, let's see. I know both girls are very, very aware of each other. Marina, of course, spent a lot of her, you know, career in Victoria. So they're a bit of a close-knit community, the Victorian female fighters.
Seems like just the circuit.
Yeah. No, they all get on really well and, yeah, fight each other also.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. So I know both girls are very, very aware of each other, so maybe we'll be looking to surprise a little bit, try to bring something a bit different, a bit unexpected. But yeah, Marina, fantastic style to watch. Ridiculous motor, like a difficult girl to dissuade. Like you won't keep her off you. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. Serious fight of the night kind of potential, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, Joan Lars, like a training partner of some sort as well. So like, you know, it's just kind of, and they're similar styles, but like, you know, just little tweaks.
Yeah.
To make it their own as well.
Yeah, very much sort of, you can see similarities, mm-hmm. But it's sort of same but different, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you got to do, is you can't just be clashing with the same styles. Like, I know what you're doing. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, so similar, like, when you say people have similar styles, it's like, you know, they're both very intelligent, you know. Both quite diverse styles too, but it's just like in practice, of course, some distinct differences too. But yeah, love that fight.
Yes. All right. So we're going to another guys fight here. So just make sure I get the names right. Yeah, there you go. So we've got Tim Nguyen, which we saw on the last Rooks show from there. And then we've got Paul Rogers. So Tim Nguyen, this one. Sukari.
Yeah,
that's right. Just making sure Sukari. And then SRG for Paul Rogers.
Yeah.
So like so same thing. Like, you know, you're seeing a lot of these fighters from Victoria that like a good majority of their career has been built on the Root show, getting into rebelling themselves. So like, you know, very familiar, the fight on these shows.
In particular the Rhino, Tim Nguyen. Because I think he's the first guy that Sai has kind of taken on as like Sai, the Rebellion promoter, has said he will be almost like that boxing model of he will be Tim's promoter. So he's taking a vested interest in managing the way that he can as the promoter anyway, but he's going to try to sort of set him up with the right fight of developing his career. So that's interesting to see. And of course, we've seen, you know, Paul Rogers has been on the come up, Sydney boy.
Yeah, pretty new pro.
Yeah, quite new, but has been traveling a lot. He we've seen him on Roots before. I know he had a pro fight up in Queensland also. He's been traveling around. Good, strong lad. Oh, and pro on. He's been racking him up because he's on Siam to Sydney as a pro also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was on a session show.
Yeah.
And I think it was like against one of Don Mills' boys.
Maybe. It was. Yeah. Right, correct. Yeah. So he's been racking him up and good, like a big, strong lad.
Very physical.
70 kilos. Yeah. I remember because I remember him. I think I officiated him and stuff when he was doing development days. A fair bit heavier. So he's been trimming down as the fights go on. And yeah, good, strong, you know, nice SRG style.
Yes, it's like, you know, just the tutelage under Lewis and also all the trainers there.
It's like they've got coaching lineup.
Got an army of trainers down there.
Yeah. Well, look, big lineup on this. Look, it's good to see people traveling interstate again, but big lineup of kind of Sydney's heavy hitting Muay Thai gyms, like the big. It helps that a couple of the foundation Muay Thai states are locked out, but I think this show is a very strong representation of kind of the top caliber Sydney Muay Thai gyms in SRG, BTJ, Sichiton, all going down to represent. But you know, when
it's
it's
kind of like it is almost like a full reunion show just without Perth.
Yeah. Oh, all Queensland. Queensland can't come either. But yeah, it's cool to see like when you get a show of Rebellion's level that you've got sort of all of these gyms sending people down. Good, or mixing it up with you know, really high level fighters down there. So good Sydney crowd representing. Of course, our friends in the capital too.
Let's see. Okay, so let me see the next one. Oh yeah, so we're getting to the top end of the card now. So we have Mart Rungfett from Morakot Moto Gym down there in Victoria.
Yeah, I know Morakot Gym, but I'm actually not super familiar.
Me either. I'm not too sure.
Honest, yeah.
So we can really only comment on the other fighter, really.
Yeah.
Which is Van Pham from Dominus MMA.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Van Pham, his last fight was it Rocky Ogden?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he snuck one. He's from Victoria, so he probably hasn't.
Most likely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the last time I recall seeing him fight. Big step up.
Mm.
good aggressive lad, massive heart.
Yeah, held on strong.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's like, you know, nothing to strategy to fans. Like, it's just levels above. And, like, yeah. Rocky has been up in those upper echelons.
And, yeah, that was a situation where, like, Rocky's a one championship fighter. They needed someone to fight him. He put his hand up and he went up and did it. So, fair play to him. Big heart. You know, remember his state title fight as
against,
well?
Against
Cowley. Yeah, that was good. Like, crazy show of heart. So, very entertaining fighter.
Mm. Yeah, it's like big kicker.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind, like, yeah, just putting those shins on the arms.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, for Mike, like I said, can't really comment too much because I haven't really seen any of him.
Yeah, like, you know, if it's a rebellion fight, it'll be a good test. You know, yeah, this will be a high-level match. I'm just out of the loop, I guess.
So you don't even know Muay Thai.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Nothing. All right, so let's go to the – so I'm guessing this would be the main event. Well, I could be wrong. I'm just going off the order what the Instagram's coming through, okay? So we have Gen Hong Fong Lek from – is it training at a Morikot gym as well? And then we have Ibi.
Our boy.
Ibi Zoya. He's a man. Like, yeah. Like, the good step up.
Big step up, yeah.
And our only three-rounder for this one.
Yeah, so we I guess couldn't get all fives across the line, but I think the last couple of times I've seen Gen fight on Rebellion, they've been threes.
Has been threes, yeah.
Yeah, so
he's a veteran.
Yeah, veteran, a bit of an elder statesman. From the genius Hong Kong Lek gym. Mm-hmm. He and his twin brother. Run the place. They're very famous for their femur style thinking fighters, beautifully technical. Ibrahim, been making waves lately. A lot of people like to watch him fight. Very nice technique. Good aggressive fighter. Look, the thing with Ibi is, like, he's had some very impressive professional performances. And because he is so small, he fights a lot of Thais. Like, he fought like a bunch of Thais in a row. And I remember watching him on Siam to Sydney. He fought, would have been Took from SPC.
Yes.
Or I think it was probably Muay Thai Temple at the time. And very impressed with just like the way that he kind of walked over Took, like, who is quite a tricky Thai, but, you know, he's like got this very. Like, I don't know, Ibrahim is a very game fighter. Like, when he really gets going and he gets kind of like the game face on, he's very focused. He's, you know, hard to deter. He's a real warp. But also, like, he picks a shot really nicely. Like, I remember some really sweet dumps in that fight. Beautiful kicker. But, like, he's aggressively technical. Like, he'll go to war, but he's got some sweet timing. He'll pull some tricks out. He's not like his demeanor is kind of that kind of he'll march you down fighter. Like, he's very, like, you know, likes to control the center ring, but he's not gonna get sucked into a brawl either. So I guess, like, this is one of those situations, especially in the three rounder, you're probably gonna want to see Ibi using his youth to his advantage.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, trying to really kind of
– just like a little bit more long-lasting motor at a higher pace.
Be physically imposing and, I mean, like, who knows what the game plan is. Maybe he's going to go out there and play a FEMA game with – and I don't know. I think all you can go by is, like, how Westerners would typically fight someone like Gen is they would try to not make it a timing game, not make it a – you know, my moves versus your moves kind of game, just kind of try to, as we said, talking about some Surat, it's, you know, when you're fighting that, you know, the aging female fighter is make him work, kind of make him uncomfortable and just not really give him the time and the space. Because what we've seen from Gen as well, as a lot of guys are that he's kind of career stage, like, he doesn't do more than he has to. You know what I mean? He's very smart at score, very smart at score. Like, if he scores a point, he's not going to chase down. Another point, he's going to say, okay, you want that back, you can come get me. You know, he likes to play on the ropes and likes to sit back and just counter kick, and his timing makes that very difficult to deal with. So, you know, if you're Ibi with three rounds to work, you're probably not going to be wanting to sit back and kick and block, kick for kick kind of game, because, you know, these femur stylists, they're very good at, you know, they know everything. They see every, know their environment. They know where the clock's up to. They know where you are. They know where they are. Like, that's where it's just like, you know, you'll be kind of just – you wait for your time, all of a sudden, the clock's run out. It's done. You know, that's that kind of, that's the game that they can sort of suck you into, or they'll try to suck you into. So, yeah, he'd be probably going to be the aggressor in this fight. But, you know, you don't know. I don't know what the plan is, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Might be different. But, like, you know, same thing if you're thinking, like, you know, it's a three-round fight.
Three-round fight, yeah.
You gotta pedal to the metal. You need every round.
Almost. Yeah.
All right, cool. So that was a cover, like, the big card. That's the Rebellion. But also, on the same day, we have a Roots card.
Yeah.
Big, it's a huge day.
Yeah. And the main event of this Roots card is definitely worth a shout.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so going over the main event from there, so we have the return of Indigo Boyd.
Yeah. Did he retire? Did I make that up?
I'm not too sure. I can't really remember, like, there being, like, an official retirement, but I just know he's been out of the game for a long time.
Yeah, I thought I saw him say something, maybe it's someone else. I don't know. He's been gone a little minute. Mm-hmm. That's is what I'm trying to say.
And then, like, you know, from New South Wales itself, we have Nathan Jones Jr. from Nova Martial Arts.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jr. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Good dude. I think almost a Big Show debut for him was against Jordy Bargali on 1774 in May.
Yep, state title.
Yeah, and fight of the year contender, and not just because there's been no fights either. Like, it was a really good fight anyway. I think, I reckon we might, you know, see what happens. But, you know, I think we'll be talking about that on shortlist for fight of the year because it was wicked.
Definitely. It's like with this fight coming, it's like, Indigo Boy's been out for a little bit, and then like Nathan Jones is like, you know, just really cutting his teeth and
rising through the ranks. Yeah, really good to watch. Like, he fought Jordy Bargali in title fights for the amateur title and then for the pro title, and both really, really good, really good fights, and both really strong performances. But also, you can see kind of the difference, you know, his progression for there. He's really finding his power. Like, drop Jordy with this beautiful, like, which is a kick over the arm, you know, just like. Barely, not even really, like, it wasn't like a up and over kind of high kick, but just really kind of shocked him with the impact. Went down, fair play, Jordy. He got back up and dropped Nathan too. But, yeah, you can kind of see he always had this really nice, just this really kind of strong fundamental kind of style. He's always been really good to watch, but you can see his power's coming along really well now. Just been chipping away under the tutelage of Rod over there in Newcastle. And I think this is a good... You know, from that sort of title fight win on 1774 to kind of get that step up to get into the other states. And it's like Indigo Boyd is very experienced. He's been over to the K1 in Japan. He's fought Ramesh. He's fought Chris Nguyen. He's fought River Daz. Like, it's a good step up for Junior to test his mettle against someone who's really been in that elite bracket. I like this fight. Three rounder.
Yep. Cool. And, like, you know, it's one that, you know, you could almost put on the Rebellion card.
Yeah.
It's so stacked already.
I think the way it's kind of working now is, like, the top Roots fight is interchangeable because he could be on this card easily. You know, Indigo's fought on Rebellion a number of times. Nathan's very hot up and comer. Yeah. I wasn't as close to what was on the Roots cards. When I saw this last week, I was really excited to see.
Yeah,
promoters always seem to put me and Junior on the same card. You racist fucks.
You gotta keep those juniors together, mate.
No, it's good though. I do really like Nathan, and I'm glad to see. He's one of those dudes, and I was talking to Michael Green along with Aaron Promotes 1774, and he's a dude that they looked at in putting on that title fight. Like, we like this kid, and we want to see him get that push forward because he does deserve it.
Mm.
Deserves it. He's had some great fights, you know, on the amateur scene, and in these, he's been cutting his teeth, you know, in the dark, you know, as you do when you're coming up, like in the shows that people are not super across. I think he's ready to get some eyes on him, and I'm excited to see.
Yeah, excellent. This is going to be a great card in general for Roots and Rebellion.
Really good representation for Sydney Rangers.
All right, so let's go into like our next preview. So sign the Sydney something. Sydney logo here. All right.
Yeah, that's fancy editing. You can do that.
And then, like, you'll see there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
that's what will most likely happen. Because this fucking idiot.
Oh. Yeah, big claim.
I'll just look for an answer to see the hands. Okay, that's right. Put logos there. All right. So I'm picking up the sign of the Sydney card from here.
Busy's going to be a busy day.
Let's see. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pro fights on the card. And like I think I remember it's like about another 8 or so amateurs. And then the development day is like in the teens, it's like 17. And then you have juniors as well, I think, which is going to be about 10 matches in the juniors.
I'm sleepy in advance for this.
Yeah. It's like, well, you're going to, yeah, you're going to have your official clothes. You're going to tear it off like Superman into your commentary clothes.
Well, I don't really have.
You're freaking about it.
I mean, like, yeah, I'm probably. I mean, we're outside in the car park. I don't really think this is going to be a suit and tie situation. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. All right, so let's just start from the bottom up as I can read it from here. Okay, so women's fight. Yeah, so we have a rematch. So we got Dalia Tongsamelf. Probably said that wrong. Sorry, darling.
Dollar bills.
Dollar bills. Good Instagram handle. I like that. Okay. And then we have Tracy Alessina.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Good. Excellent. All right. So these girls went like 4-4 for the very recently for the WMC state title.
Yes.
And then Dollar bills.
Dollar got the win by 5th round cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a corker of a cut, that one.
It was a good cut. Good elbow.
Mm-hmm. Do you reckon each girl here would come with like maybe a different plan? Or like maybe Dala like might have had more of a foothold in the last fight and Tracy had to make some adjustments coming into this one?
I mean, I'm sure Tracy's plan isn't to get elbowed again. I think her plan would be different if it wasn't her plan the first time. Yeah, I know Dala's fought since then. Would have been Tracy's last fight. So, yeah, I imagine they've been retooling. It'll be interesting. It was like a pretty close fight up until the elbow. Good 5-3. Yeah, 5-3.
Yes.
High pace, really high pace, scrappy at times. Maybe Dala really feels like she's found her shot and she'll be looking for the stoppage again. Mm-hmm. Tracy probably needs to retool some things a little bit more. As far as like,
she seemed like very like intent last time, like, you know, just really letting the hands go.
Yeah. And she's running forward a lot. Like that was where the elbow came in. She was charging in head first. So maybe play. And as like kind of the southpaw, you know, was probably kind of like diving head first onto things a little bit unnecessarily, like could have sat back and tried. She didn't even use her left side that much. So probably fundamentally you'd think Tracy's probably going to play a pretty different game here. And, you know, Dala very young in her career too, so we'll be changing things all the time. So I think, yeah, a pretty quick rematch. And it's one of those fights, like I just don't think this is like – it's not like anyone was like clamoring for it to go again, but both girls want to fight. So they said, yeah.
So the options are kind of –
So, yeah, and I like it. It's like, okay, let's just do it again then. And, so why not? You know, yeah. Fight is fight.
So going up from that, we have Reese Castledean versus Daniel Talker, which I don't know much about Daniel Talker. He's from Muay Thai.
Yeah. And you like that kind of tells you something, you know. Like I know he's been around. I think he was doing like nationals and things like that. Again, he's new to the scene. You'd probably have to call this a step up. That race he'd been around. A pro debut for Daniel. But you can kind of know this is one of those fights at PTJ versus Muay Thai. Going to go off. Remember PTJ versus Moyu on the last Yamta sessions? It was it was Reese, I think, again against Arnda.
Oh yeah, that's
right. It was a mad fight.
Reese doesn't know how not to have an exciting
fight. Yeah, Reese is very entertaining. So yeah, again, like not as across Daniel firsthand, but you know if someone fights at a Moyu, you're going to get strong stylist, and you know. Mm-hmm. Kieran done taking his shit over there. So, yeah, this would be – and, you know, Reese just only knows wars.
There will be blood.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a ranger thing.
There's a few rangers on this card. So, going up from speaking of, got the boy, Ollie Hale.
Yes.
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 Yeah, versus the other boy, Luke Taylor.
Mm.
Luke Taylor making his pro debut.
Yeah.
For that one. And, like, Ollie Hale, veteran on the scene.
Yeah, a bit of maybe I don't know what you want to call it, like a gatekeeper sort of, like, you know, Luke's going to come into the pros, Ollie's been around. And, you know, like I think last the arm to Sydney, you know, Reese Castledine might have been his pro debut or an early pro fight. He got that step up for Ollie and it's like, you know, Ollie is what you see is what you get fighter. He comes for war. He's a pressure fighter. He's not afraid to have an ugly fight. ugly fighters in kind of like a real sort of drag them out fight, and he wants to take into that deep water.
Mm.
So, you know, it's one of those fights, you know, it's good. You know, Luke's been, through no fault of his own, fairly inactive. Probably didn't have the amateur career he would have wanted to have. Like, he only had, what, how many?
Like nine.
Did he?
Yeah, or nine or eight. But like three of those were nationals.
Oh, okay, yeah. And, but some of them dev days as well. What do you
have? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, as far as like on that sort of.
Well, it's like it's almost like, I guess, the same round as like Daniel Talker. It's
yeah.
Like, it's just like everyone at some weight divisions is just not quite there, like in amateurs.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the guys are looking good enough where it's go, hey, look, let's go to the pros, and there's just going to be just a lot more opportunities to actually what you want to do. You want to fight?
That's no, yeah, he should be pro 100%. Mm. It's not. I mean, this is also like we just got. You look at like the Victorian scene is like.
Yeah.
The amateur pro structure is changing a lot. But yeah, Luke's not been on the shelf for a little while. Will be an interesting test. It's probably a step up in experience and level. I doubt he's fought anyone with anywhere near as many fights as Ollie's had. Most of his fights have been against other dudes with the kind of 3-4 fight kind of mark. So it's a good step up in experience level and will be a good test just to kind of see where he's at.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so going from there. So as we talked about before, Tuck from it says Tuck SPC.
Yep.
Okay.
Down the road, something over there.
Yeah, that's it. You throw a stone at it.
Yeah.
And then it says Michael Zelensky.
I like Michael.
Mm. It's like not. And it's like, you know, Michael Zelensky, pretty. He's what's the best word? So, like, you know, he's been a like, you know, the track internationally.
Yeah, been over to Thailand a bit.
And like, and when he comes over, and especially over here, just goes, yeah, let's pick it up, like anyone. Like,
yeah.
He has some amount of experiences and things like that. So, yeah.
Is he still at Rung Chai? Was he ever? Am I making that up?
I think he's Marsing.
Marsing, okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, good dude. I like watching him fight. Nice style. Mm-hmm. Took, like we talked about, he's not an easy customer. Like, again, a good measuring stick kind of fight is Took. Like, because you see, Ibi had a very impressive performance against Took, but then you watch him fight my friend Jared on 70-74. You see, like he's not a pushover at all. You got your work cut out for him when you fight Took. Like you got to kind of like
just kind of spoiling your advances.
Yeah, like very a frustrating guy to fight. Again, a little bit of a just said. He's not going to do more than he has to, right? But he'll shut you down. He's quite strong and tricky. So he was sort of. You know, you've just got to kind of like I feel like it's like coming to the party with him is like you got to make him fight you before you can beat him.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like you have to earn that.
You got to get the wall down. Like I think that's what kind of Jared struggled with was like getting him into a position where they're fighting. Like he was struggling to get around these clinch blocks and just kind of like lockdowns and stuff like that. So I think a good kind of just a question of whether Michael can really get himself to. Make a fight with Took, looking forward to it.
Good. All right. So, so another pro debut. So you got Cobra Kai, Reed Jones, versus Petch, from Muay Thai Temple.
I'm not familiar with Petch, to be honest.
When I watched him, because my boy's fighting him, so I had to watch a bit of tape. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Ollie Hale, pretty sure.
Oh, is that him?
Mm.
Yeah. So, I thought his name was Kong. Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I could be wrong, and I've just done totally the wrong homework. But I'm just like,
okay. Yeah. If that's him, I changed my mind. And have seen him for.
Mm-hmm. But like it's the same thing. It's just like a really spoiling type of fighter.
Yeah. That was a bad fight.
Yeah. He's just doing just enough. So like, you know, I'm just the biggest. I'm just ahead here. And I'm not going to push it any further.
Yeah, it's not a violent style.
No, it's a point. It's a point
style. It's a point style, and that's not a criticism.
No, it's smart.
That will test your experience, right? Because you can't get sucked into that kind of just like tied down. Like I know I spoke with Ollie after that fight, but he was just very frustrated. He just felt like the fight never.
Yeah, you could see that.
Yeah, on his side, he just couldn't get the fight started. So, good question. I'm a big fan of Young Kai. I'm glad to finally see him in the pros where he can get some opportunities because, he'll be good. Just needs to get busy. I think this is a good fight for him.
Yeah, it's a good like pro debut.
Yeah.
Into this, like, and like really just kind of building forward. Like, yeah, it's just him and Luke especially. It was just so frustrating trying to get him amateur fights.
No, yeah, I think this move, to be honest, like, yeah, I've wanted them to be in the pros for a while. I just think it's where they need to get fights. This is what's happening now. I'm looking forward to seeing Kai be able to start racking him up. I think it's a pretty doable fight for him, to be honest. Yeah, I like it. Again, I haven't seen much of who I now know his name is Petch, but from what I have seen, I think it's the right level fight. Will be good to see Kai. Yeah, he's good. The kid's good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of his.
That's it. Just keep watching him.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to the top end of the card. So we have Cruz Briggs.
Yes. How good?
Good, man. Like, you know, it's like opening up his own gym, Eastside Muay Thai.
Yeah, first time we've seen him fight since.
And then, like, but I think he'd been a little bit out because of, like, a little bit of injury as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to fight Jamie Alain, right?
Yes.
In Feb. Pulled out with some kind of recurring elbow. I'm probably making that up. Not that it even matters. Some kind of injury. That did put him on the sidelines for a while and is now stepped into this one.
Yeah, man, now I'm good to see him like back in the Muay Thai ring also.
Yes, yeah. K1 was his last one. I heard some rumors. It wasn't a rumor. I heard it directly from him. That there was consideration of going having a crack at boxing too, so that could be on the cards for him.
I've seen him training in the boxing shoes.
Big hands, yeah.
And it suit him. He definitely wouldn't be out of place.
Yeah, yeah, he's got good power. Big puncher, lots of punch in his tough fights. But for me, I'd rather see him in Muay Thai, obviously. but yeah, this is a good fight.
So he's versus Kim Dong-won from PTJ. So hasn't fought on Australian soil, but a very seasoned campaigner in Thailand.
Fought some big names, yeah. Was based, I believe, out of Malaysia. I could be wrong. Someone told me that.
I was like, they go through this whole episode. Just go, I'm gonna fact check. Yeah. What the fuck is this?
I just like parrot shit that I heard from other people. My friend Guy, he's a friend of Kim's. That was my reference. Yes. If I was wrong. I know. I was under the impression because I was busy on the Thai scene. I thought he was based there, but I was corrected that I don't actually think he was. He was just in Asia, so that's why he would end up over there. But he's fought some big names, in Thailand on big shows like Top King and MX. He's a very experienced campaigner and has been taking some time to get settled and. Yeah, established himself as a trainer here, but now will continue his fight career. Trains at the new PTJ in Brookvale.
Yep.
Alongside Lyndon in the Modern.
The Beaches side.
Yeah, yeah. So it will be interesting to see, like, he's got, like we say, a lot of experience, very tricky, quite unorthodox, actually. Definitely not like a classic kind of traditional Thai style like that, you know, maybe you might expect from someone who spent as much time over there. Yeah, very tricky, interesting style to watch. And I like this fight a lot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of maybe like a bit of a power versus sort of trickery kind of fight, like see who can get their game going. But, you know, Cruz looks fit, man. I've been seeing some videos of him on the pads, been out for a minute, but not lost a step. You know, passes the eye test 100%. So.
Just got the motivation running high.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And you know, a lot of people you see, they open their own gyms and it almost kind of rounds out their knowledge a little bit. They become more technical. It's quite common.
And it could go either way really as well. Like if, like, you know, it rounds out your knowledge, but then like there's the extra pressure, like, you know, I've got to teach classes and then if I've got my own fighters, like, you know, are you going to get into that, you know, that fighter coach kind of
deal? It's tricky, but when done well can be very beneficial also because your livelihood is in the gym. So, you know, compare that to, you know, having to go and get on it. You know, the training is there all the time. So, like, when done correctly, it can be really helpful. Of course, there's roadblocks and things to navigate. But, you know, two full-time trainers, so they got the same battles to work. But, yeah, this is like I saw this one pop up. I was – it's just a very interesting match.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, but really, really good. I think the top two fights on this card are really, you know, could be top fights on any card in Australia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is going to be – good. Like, it's the same thing. Like, there's always question marks. Like, it's been a long time since, you know, Kim's fought at all. Mm. First time in Australia, first time since working PGA, first time Cruz has fought in a couple of years, first time Cruz has fought since he opened his own gym. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, which versions of these guys are we going to see? They're experienced guys that we've seen all over the place, but yeah, what are we going to see in there? What tricks have they picked up? You know, what stylistic changes have been made, especially with Cruz, who's gone and done a bit of K1, maybe not fought boxing, but dipped his toes in boxing a little bit. He always liked to punch anyway, but, you know, what are we going to see? Yeah, what changes are, but both smart guys. Cruz, obviously very, very powerful, a big knockout fighter. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker match.
Mm.
And then you got the top of the card. You have the Springbok, Leo Landis Schmidt.
I love this fight.
Versus Deanna Martin, which we've broken down before. It's like it was meant to happen before like all the lockdown shit happened.
Breaking it down to pieces.
And like, yeah, so like really I don't think our opinions have changed since the last time we talked about it, but our excitement levels are.
Excitement levels are only building. Yeah.
it's just constantly just at the boiling point, just going, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I've been I've probably said all this before too, but I've been a huge Yolanda fan forever. Been watching YOLO fight. Like I watched YOLO fight live for the first time, like before I had even had a fight. So you're like, you know, been a YOLO fan since way back. She's really beaten some of the best girls in the world.
Yes, she has.
Stamped especially by her Muay Thai Angels tournament win.
Yes.
But I really, like I love Diandra too. You know, as a fighter and as a person, of course, good friend. Yeah, I think this is a big opportunity. I know how hungry Diandra is from, you know, having to take this break as well. She's got massive aspirations and really sees this fight as, you know, the chance to kind of unseat the top girl in, you know, as Muay Thai. And that's exactly what it is. It's huge if she gets this one done. I like the style match. Look, YOLO is a very special fighter. Like it is really the only way I could describe it. Like her intensity, her power, she has really like, really kind of, she has that kind of power that really separates her from like 90% of the competition. Like when she gets going and she starts to, like she's got a wicked right hand.
Yeah.
When she gets going and the pressure that she puts on you to extend, she's an incredible athlete. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got your work cut out for you from the jump.
And it's fun, like, when you think, like, you see a lot of girl fighters, like, you know, especially the ones that are athletic, they already have, like, a head start of it, everyone. And then, like, but then you see what their determination is like when they first someone that was similar. And, like, Yolanda's got everything in spades.
Yeah, yeah, like, anything like that, you know, she's really, like, at that best starting point is, like, you know, do whatever game. Like, it's just a matter of, there's no major gaps. From an athletic standpoint, right? So it's just, of course, very technical. Had a whole career under Andrew Parnham, very, very smart coach. But this, you know, this is another one of those fights. Like Yolo's coming back from major surgery and injury layoff. So that's already kind of like, does she bring those same athletic attributes to the ring? You know, I think she's been very smart. We spoke to her. She's been very smart.
Yeah.
Very patient with her rehab. So you'd have to think, things have, and look, maybe even doing a fight camp and not getting to fight, maybe could have been a positive. Like, you know, she got a dry run, which definitely wouldn't have felt that way at the time. But I can see the logic in that, though. She is also on top of coming back from, you know, quite a debilitating injury. She's stepping up in weight to fight, you know, very, very long, very rangy, strong Diandra Martin up at 57. So that's kind of a couple of things over on Diandra's side, who is also the younger of the two. Very kind of that more so. It's very much like the established veteran versus the red hot up and comer. Yeah, like we say, the potential, you know, in Diandra's eyes, this would be the changing of the guard kind of fight for her. A big opportunity and very technical also, knows how to use her length, great in the clinch, good knees and kicks. Works behind a teep really nicely. But you know, she can knuckle down and go to war too. So I love this fight. I really like it. I think when you watch YOLO fight, especially against someone who's on the come up like Deandra, it's always, can they withstand the pressure? Mm-hmm. A lot can't. A lot can't. I think if anyone can, it's Deandra. But I'm anticipating a very good fight here.
Yeah, it's going to be a war. It's going to be great. I'm going to be expecting it.
And really just good for both of these ladies to see them back in the ring finally. Mm. I'm excited.
Awesome.
You all should be too.
Yeah. So that includes all our previews at the moment. So so remember, as always with those shows, it's like they can only happen with support. So buy the streams. If you're like, you know, if you're close enough, buy the tickets as well.
Yeah, not even like get on a plane and come to Rebellion.
Come down. Yeah. Because I don't think it's been said it's sold out or anything yet. So
not quite, but it will be.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the tickets didn't even make it to the general release because the fighter pre-sale took them all. But yeah, if it's within your means to get a ticket to either of these shows, please do it. It's been a rough year in Australian Muay Thai. You can come out and hang out with us. With me, I'm not as busy at the Tiamta Sydney show. I'll be in the commentary booth.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the live stream if you're up in Sydney for Rebellion.
Yep. And it's good. And it's like, as Pinky would say, if your gym's got tickets, don't fuck around. Go get the tickets right now.
Yeah.
So
it's coming up. 2 weeks. 2 weeks away, Rebellion. 3 weeks away, Tiamta Sydney. What a wicked
great stuff.
Two weekends of Muay Thai. To kick off a sadly quiet year for New South Wales and Victorian Muay Thai.
Yeah.
But like the perfect way to cap on a pretty shitty year and then roll on Christmas and roll on 2022.
Ah, that's right. So like for us, we won't be recording for the next couple of weeks because like we'll be doing like we'll be at the like a judges thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next weekend and then the weekend after you're fighting.
Correct.
We'll do we'll come back and we'll do a like recap of Rebellion just before the day before Simon the City.
Yep.
And that's when you'll see us next. So like, you know, just remember other podcasts you could listen to in the meantime, Muay Thai Hour, Ring Lovers Podcast. Ring Lovers Podcast. Pingy. love the name. Striker Chat as well. And like there's always other ones.
Matt Lucas always putting stuff out on fighting in Thailand is really good too.
Well, actually I saw him use on the Muay Thai Hour.
Correct.
Collab. Man, I want to actually listen to that one.
Full circle. Yeah.
All right, guys. But from us, that's it for this week, and we'll see you in a little bit, okay? We'll see you later.
Fuck Rebellion Scotland.
Woo!
Thanks again for listening to the Combat Chat Podcast. You can catch all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. Follow your boys on Instagram, Facebook, at Combat Chat Podcast. See you next week.